This is going to be a fun show. It happens to be Independence Day. Happy Independence Day to all of the listeners in the United States of America. It's the 4th of July. There are other issues to be concerned with on the 4th of July, certainly, but for the American audience, it's Independence Day. And it just worked out this way. It's sort of a long-time-coming volley back by the Hillbenders on the British invasion. This is our answer. This is the bluegrass answer to the British invasion, led in part by The Who, a lot of other bands, but the Hillbenders have recorded Tommy in its entirety, top to bottom. I mean, it's just, it's track by track by track by track. Everything from the Tommy the Rock Opera is now Tommy the Bluegrass Opry, and it's so much fun to listen to, and Nolan Lawrence is going to join us in a bit. We'll get to that. I won't keep you too long on that. We had a nice discussion. We had to record a few days ago to his schedule, because as you can imagine, when you start hearing the music from their new Tommy album, the Hillbenders are very busy. It's always been a great band, and they always are always out working, always on the road, and you can see them. As a matter of fact, they will be at Grey Fox this year. We'll talk about that a little bit with Nolan when we get there, Grey Fox Bluegrass Festival. And the Tommy album is it's one of those things that I don't know. You don't have to be my age. It helps if you remember when Tommy came out. And you live through all the permutations of the movie and the Broadway play. But now we have this new thing, the Bluegrass Opry, which is, they just nailed it. I mean, I'm not going to hold any punches on it. It's a great tribute. And more than that, they just take it all in and re-digest it all, and it comes out as this incredible bluegrass album. So that being said, we're going to talk in depth. Everything you always wanted to know about Tommy the Rock Opera, which is now forever and ever Tommy the Bluegrass Opry. I'm real happy to welcome Nolan Lawrence of the Hillbenders to Unreal Bluegrass. How you doing, Nolan?
Doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm so happy to get to hook up with you and talk about this. This has to be the most ambitious project I've seen in a long, long time from a bluegrass band. And I'm talking about the Tommy album, which you call a bluegrass Opry on the cover, and done by the Hillbenders. And, man, I'm telling you, it's just, it blows my mind. We're going to talk about a lot of things, but this is just so well done, even to if people listen and haven't heard it, it almost, you actually take, just so we get this straight, there's been other rock, you know, other bluegrass rock cover type things, the Moody Bluegrass, okay, a whole different bunch of people doing Moody Blues stuff. There's been Pink Floyd stuff, but I don't know of anyone, Nolan, that has taken a classic album like the Tommy album and done it top to bottom. You started out, you track it all the way through. You even have the same times, I think, on most of the tracks.
It was quite an undertaking, and you're right. You know, I don't think that we're aware of any other projects that really take it to that extent. And that's really one of the things that we try to do. We try to put a lot of thought into that to make sure that it would stand apart from a lot of those other projects. And not that we don't love all of them. There's some amazing covers out there.
Oh, no, no question.
Stuff, but,
yeah.
But we wanted to stand apart from the standard picking on fare
exactly.
Was, you know, so huge a decade ago.
Right.
And we wanted to put something out there that, although it's a cover of a rock album, and that concept has been covered before, we're really going in a whole new direction with the intent behind this record, and I think it shows.
Oh, it absolutely does. And here's my first. Let's start it this way. My first cut when you're looking at a project like this from a band's point of view is, everybody's got to have the chops to pull this off. This is not easy to do. I mean, there's dynamic ranges involved that you got to cover a rock band with bluegrass instruments. Everybody's got to have those chops to start off with. That's first cut, okay? And the Hillbenders can do that. I've seen you guys play a couple times, and I've got your albums, and so you've got the vocal and the musical chops to pull this off. That's the very first starting point. But the second, and maybe if there's a 1 and a 1A, the 1A has to be, everybody has to be on board to devote time to learn this and do it.
Yeah, that's a big one, and you know, it came about at the right time for our group. We were working on material for a new record already, and when the idea for the Tommy thing came around, it came in that fruitful creative time in kind of our cycle, so to speak, and well, it turned out that the idea was brought to us by Lewis Myers, good friend of ours, has been for years. He's one of the founders of South by Southwest, and has also been the executive director for the Folk Alliance International organization now for the past decade or so.
Okay.
And And when he brought us the idea for the project, he said that he'd had this crazy idea for 20 years to do something with Tommy Bluegrass. And I said, well, that's interesting. Who are you going to get to do it? And he said, well, I was thinking maybe you guys. And so we thought it over and we talked about it. And it turns out that Jimmy Ray, our guitar player, is a huge Tommy fan.
Oh, that's fortunate. He did he did most of the arrangements, right?
He did. He did all the arrangements. Mm-hmm. And that's a big part of it. That's a big part of the reason why. He saw it as a Broadway production when he was a young teenager and had the record and knew all the words and knew all the songs. And I mean, he's really, really in love with it. And all of us knew and loved the record, but not necessarily to that extent. And when he heard about the opportunity, he was just, you could see him light up with excitement. And we started off slow. We just did two or three songs to see what it would sound like and if it would flip over properly and if it would, you know, translate the right way. And, and those first couple of songs just sounded really cool, and we all got the bug. It sounded exciting, and we thought the idea was novel and unique and somewhat brilliant, you know, really.
I think it is.
So, yeah, everybody kind of jumped on board after those first couple of songs came out, and we realized the scope and size of what this project could become. Everybody just dove in head first, and it's been an amazing uphill ride.
Oh, man. Well, we got a lot to talk about because I know you met Pete Townsend somewhere along the line, but let me ask you this. So the idea comes to the band, and you guys figure out, okay, you got an insider who loves it and can work on the arrangement, as everybody, I know the whole band contributes to these things, but so then, and I'm sure you knew Pinball Wizard, you probably knew some of it, but you had to have taken the music aside and just really lived in this album for a while to really get a feel for what's going on. Am I correct on that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think we all took some serious time and listened to the record over and over and looked for different versions. We found, you know, different versions on YouTube, some live versions, some different studio cuts. We even found Townsend's original demo tapes and listened to some of those.
Oh, cool.
Just to get a feel for, you know, what the original intent was before all the production came in. And we all just, you know, kind of steeped ourselves in the Who sound and their way of thinking to some degree. I don't think you could do a project like that without doing the character study to make it.
That's a great description. It's almost like a character study. That's perfect. That's a perfect description for it, Nolan. That's exactly what I was envisioning you guys had to do. It was like, okay, here's our project. Let's go away and just get immersed in it and really learn it backwards and forwards and make it part of our musical souls so that when we go into the studio, we're not only on the same mind, but we got the same taste of it deep down inside, which is where the stuff has to come from. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, on the album, this tickles me. It really does. First of all, I really do like it. But if anyone's familiar with the album, there were cuts that, you know, you have cuts on here that are 13 seconds. You have a cut. I mean, you have a minute 18 seconds. You've really tracked this honestly in a bluegrass way. I don't want people to think that this Tommy album by the Hillbenders is that you're trying to recreate rock and roll. You're not, but you're very faithful to the tracking on the original album, as I recall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lot of that comes down to Jim Ray's arrangements, and you know, from the very beginning, we wanted to keep it as true as we could keep it with, while still holding true to the concept that we were trying to deliver. And it was a little bit challenging in some places to find a way to make those. To make those sounds happen and the transitions, especially, and we've kind of built a live show around how to make those transition work properly. We have breaks where we talk about the storyline and the plot and what's going on with the characters and where they're headed and what's happening with Tommy and his parents and the people around him and so on and so forth. It takes a lot of preparation, I think, and a lot of thought to make it work in that sense. And all those little tiny tracks are just beautiful little transition pieces into the rest of the story. And I think without them and without reproducing them faithfully, it would have lost a lot of steam.
You know, and what it reminds me of too, Nolan, and I was a kid when the original album came out. All right, I remember it well. You guys were not, but I was. But it actually was billed as a rock opera, and those were like little transitional bits between audio scenes. I mean, they hadn't put it on stage yet. They hadn't made a movie about it, but Pete Townsend was clearly thinking something stage-like, because those are little transitions in between small segments of what later became a movie and a Broadway-style musical, and those are transitional points. And it's I just get tickled by the fact that you're following it so closely. And again, I figure, here's a question I have for you. First of all, you recorded it analog. Was there an advantage to that?
I think the advantage came in just the sound quality, and it was actually a really cool experience. None of us had ever really recorded analog before, because it's old school. A lot of people don't do that anymore, and it's kind of hard to come across working machines, and tape is really expensive, and the whole process is a lot more difficult and a lot more detail oriented than your typical digital recording nowadays. So it was quite an experience. It was actually a whole lot of fun, and coming out of it, I don't think any of us really want to go back to the digital world. I think I would like to record analog for the rest of my career if I can, because it was such a rewarding sound and experience. And you know, there's something about recording digitally. Everybody's gotten into the mindset that you can take, you know, 20 takes until you get it right. And, mm-hmm. and if five of those takes had good parts, then you just stitch them all together.
Cut them up,
and those
right.
takes become one perfect take. And every record comes out sounding just absolutely perfect, and note for note, and not a single missed beat, and no character, because of the lack of, or because of the uber perfection
you right.
find in the digital world.
You're right.
And the beautiful thing about the analog is that it captures all of those little things that you can't go in and just slice out or add back in without extensive time and you know, lots of production budget. We did this whole thing in a week. Actually, tracking was like 4.5 days. So most of the songs got, you know, one or two takes, and then we went in and overdubbed vocals over the top and any other additional instrumental stuff that we couldn't get in the first take. And it really forced us to put ourselves out there with the music and really, really, I don't know, just live through it and play it out as if you were on stage, as opposed to the typical approach to a studio recording, or at least a modern studio recording.
Right.
So
right.
it was a really, really cool experience.
And the whole band has to be there, right? You're not emailing pieces back and forth each other, which you can do with digital stuff. You're all there.
I mean, I'm sure you could, but it'd be really cost prohibitive and a timely process to do that. But yeah, the whole band was there, and it was really quite an experience. I can't say enough about it.
That's neat. Well, there you put out a neat record. And if you're just tuning in, we're talking about the Tommy the Bluegrass Opry by the Hillbenders, and I got Nolan Lawrence, and we're just kind of getting started talking about the process. But does the analog then? Because I see, you know, because this is a full rock and roll album from The Who, so I would see, as you're going into this, how do you make these? There's some big dynamic range changes, I think, and maybe I'm using the wrong term, but does analog help you accomplish that? You have to know going into this, at some point you've really got to reach down and sing from your toe tops, from the tippy toes, to hit some of this stuff, you know. And so how do you make way for that type of change in the dynamic from the soft stuff to the it's got to be does analog help at all on that, first of all? Because I don't know.
I don't know that it necessarily helps in a direct fashion. However, I think sonically, analog is maybe a little more forgiving because of the innate warmthness that it provides.
Okay.
There's just that little bit of extra feel-good fuzziness in okay. analog that you don't find in analog or in digital, because it's so crisp and clear.
That's
and
yeah. Okay.
And I think that warmth gives you a little bit of room to wiggle. The analog reverb that is a byproduct of it gives you just a little bit more oomph in there somewhere. And if you can kind of capture and realize how to use that to your advantage, then yes, I could see it being a very slight advantage to getting that rich, full sound going analog.
And you guys are not holding back on anything. I mean, when it's time to step up to the plate and be Roger Daltrey, or Pete, you guys are filling in. These vocals are really, I mean, I hope that when people listen to this, they're in a spot where they can really turn it up loud, because on some of this really high-powered stuff from The Who in the original recording, you guys are not laying back on anything.
No. And you know, that's really been our style from the get-go, and I think maybe that's one of the things that drew Lewis to us as a band for this project. Ever since we started out, we've kind of always given everything we've got every time we get our instruments on and stand in a row, all five of us.
Mm-hmm.
That's just kind of the way that we approach our music in general. And you know, doing a rock opera with our setup just lent itself perfectly to that, because we all just lay it out there for everybody to see, and vocally it let us flex our muscles a little bit and do some of that, and instrumentally as well, and definitely dynamically, like you were mentioning earlier. There's a lot of room for dynamic change in this record, and it really does take a roller coaster ride of dynamics when you think about it like that.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But yeah, that just kind of comes naturally to us to just lay it out there and give everything we've got, and that's just, like I said, it just seems like the way we approach everything.
Well, you know, I've seen the band Hillbenders, like I said, a couple times. First time I saw you, you didn't have a label. You just had a self-produced album, which was later picked up and reissued, I think the term I would use.
Uh-huh.
But you guys have a lot of confidence in what you're doing as a band.
Yeah, that's I wouldn't say we've always had it, but we've grown into it for sure. And over the years of just countless festival performances and opportunities to do amazing shows with amazing people, it definitely bolsters your confidence the more of it you do.
Now, and I've not seen you since this album came out. I will see you. I believe you're on Friday at Grey Fox, and I'll be up there broadcasting. I think you're Friday early evening or late afternoon. Do you?
Saturday.
I'm sorry. Yes. Thank you. Oh, there you go. Saturday. I'll be there then too. Did I hear then that do you perform bits of this? Let's put it this way. Have you ever advertised that you're going to do the entire album and show up and do it?
Yes. In fact, I would say as of now, the majority of the rest of our summer is full album performances.
Oh, great.
The first release of it was at Folk Alliance this year in March, and it was the very first public performance, and it was the complete album front to back, and every official CD release since then has been that, the full album. Now, we do usually do like a 30-minute Hillbender set in the beginning, just kind of to introduce the band and remind everybody that we still do our own original thing, and
right.
It's part of who we are, and it lets us kind of get a little warmed up and a little bit ready for the intensity of Tommy. But then we come out and change clothes and jump back up there and do the whole thing front to back.
Does anybody spin microphones around like on a cord, like Roger or anything like that? Do you do that?
we haven't gotten there quite yet, but there are plans to augment things in the future. Obviously,
cool. So then I should see you then. I should hear you. On that Saturday in Grey Fox, you should be coming out at some point, going into the full Tommy mode.
I believe so. Yeah,
oh, that'll be awesome.
Doing the whole thing there.
Oh, that'll be phenomenal. That was one of the things I kept thinking. Do they do this? Do they show up and do it? You know, top to bottom in my description of it. That'll be a blast. Oh, that'll be an absolute blast.
You know, it's fun to do, and we've done just regular Hillbender shows and thrown, you know, sprinkled in a few Tommy tunes here and there just to tease them, but. But I don't think that you can really put this project out there and not do the whole thing front to back, just because of the nature of what it is. You know, it's an opera. It's a
mm-hmm.
story. It's you need to see the beginning, the middle, and the end of it all, and you need to meet all the characters and see where they go and how it happens. And it feels disconnected. In fact, the only time that we haven't been able to do the whole thing was in New York City last week. We were at the Rockwood Music Hall, and they had a 60-minute time limit that they weren't willing to flex on, and we had to end up cutting four or five songs near the end of the opera and put in just the very finishing song, the very final song.
Mm-hmm.
And it still came across fine, but you could feel there was something missing. You know, you need that whole progression, that whole storyline to make it work.
This will be a blast. I was hoping that you were doing that somewhere, and I'm thrilled that you're going to do it, and I get to hear it. I don't know that I'll get to come around and watch it because I sit in a little booth, but I will definitely make a chance to run around and see it. That'll be exciting. Let me ask you this: what was the label? I know you're on. This is on Compass, correct?
Correct.
All right. Were they? Did you have support from the label on when you were going through this, or did you just do it and figure you would get it?
You know. Because of the uniqueness of this project, and because it does kind of come out of left field until you wrap your mind around it, I think everybody that we initially approached it with kind of did a double take for a second, but then once you think about it and you think through the possibilities that it could provide and the crowd that it can reach and the potential that the music holds, I think once everybody really kind of took a hold of that and chewed on it for a minute, everybody got the concept, and you can kind of see the light go on in the rest of our team as they begin to get the concept. And then, of course, as the accolades started rolling in, everybody was like, oh, okay, this is for real. Let's do this. So it took a little bit of convincing, but once everybody bought in, everybody's been just whole hog going for as much as we can get with it.
Well, I know you guys have been busy showing up everywhere playing, and I saw the pictures on Facebook or some social media where you got to meet Pete Townsend, which must have been unbelievable.
Unbelievable. It was absolutely unbelievable. We'd only played 3 shows at that point. It had only been played publicly 3 times, and one was the premiere at Folk Alliance, so it wasn't even really a public show. And apparently there was already a buzz going on in Europe about it, and that's where he told us he first heard about it. I think Lewis, our producer, Lewis, by the way, produced the record as well.
Right. Lewis J. Meyer.
He sent the record off to the Who camp. I'm not sure who he sent it to directly, but he got it to somebody in the camp there, and they let him know that they were going to pass it on to Townsend. And about an hour after we found out that they sent it to Townsend, Townsend emailed us and said he loved it and wanted to meet with us.
Oh,
and
man.
We were just absolutely blown away. We had a scheduled meeting in Kansas City, and we were going to hang out with them after the show and talk about the record. And they ended up having to cancel 3 dates because of Roger's voice, and Kansas City was one of them. We were riding high, and then it came crashing down, and we thought, oh, no, we lost our opportunity. But then it turns out that we had 3 more CD release shows coming up, and one of them was going to be in net. We had a few more shows coming up, and one of them turned out to be in Nashville the night before their show there at Bridgestone Arena, and we had a show at Station Inn doing the Tommy CD release party. And we got there, and we found out the week before that the Station Inn show was going to be really packed, and then we got there that night, and it was sold out, and so we were riding high from selling out the Station Inn. That was a bucket list for us anyway. And then we found out that Pete was definitely going to want us to meet with him after the Nashville show the next night. They left us tickets at the will call there. We picked up tickets and got to see the show from some great seats right up front. And then they had VIP passes in there, and they asked us to meet them around back after the show. And we went into their little green room area, and he came back, and his first question was, who sang Acid Queen? And I raised my hand and said it was me. And he said, with a beard like that? We all got a good chuckle out of it. But he and the rest of them have all been very, very supportive of the project. And in fact, they released our most recent video for us on their Facebook page. And
they've
been posting
wow.
about the record and posting links to the to buy the record and recommending it to their fans.
Oh, that's
just
fantastic.
Fantastic amount of
support. Oh, man, how cool is that? How cool is that? So you went and saw the show. You saw The Who perform, then you went back and met with Pete.
Yeah, we got to see them do some of the Tommy songs, too, with the big, giant, like, 50-foot video screen behind them and all kinds of crazy.
You're taking notes. We're taking notes. Let's get a 50-foot screen for our next.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me ask you this. I'm just curious. Could you hear after they were finished? Were your ears buzzing? Because they do volume like it never existed.
They do. They put some serious volume out there. But yeah, we could hear. We were all ready for it. And you do enough big festivals, bluegrass or not, you're gonna hear a lot of loud music.
Well, that's true. Well, let's take a minute then. Oh, this is great. This is exciting. I'm glad you guys got to hook up with The Who, and the fact that they appreciate what you're doing and recognize that it's something special, and just kind of any little boost along the way can help them. What a great...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, what a great thing. The rest of the band, let's talk about everybody else. I think I know most of them, but tell the listeners out there, we're talking to Nolan Lawrence of the Hillbenders, and we were talking about this great new Tommy album, but let's go ahead and tell them you tell them about the rest of the band that's on this.
Well, we talked about him earlier. The guitar player and the arranger for the Tommy Project is Jimmy Ray, R-E-A, and he's based out of Springfield, Missouri, as is the rest of the band, or most of the rest of the band, I should say. And he's kind of a musical maestro. He plays in, when he's not on the road with us, he plays in probably 15 or 20 other groups around the area, sitting in and playing everything from keys to drums to trumpet to fiddle to, he just plays all kinds of stuff, and he writes prolifically and does a lot of video work. He's a big driving force behind what we do. And then his cousin on bass is Gary Ray. Gary's kind of the family man, and he kind of grew up cutting his teeth on the Grateful Dead, of all things, and used to have dreadlocks down to his butt, but he cut them off when he got into bluegrass, and he's been holding down the low end for us ever since day one. We've got Mark Cassidy on the banjo, and he's based out in Huntington Beach, California, or L.A., basically. He lived here in Springfield with us for quite some time, but he moved back out there recently, and he's doing some solo projects of his own. In fact, I just saw today that he posted his new EP is going to be coming out on this next tour. He'll have copies of it. And he's just a phenomenal banjo player, and coincidentally was my roommate in college, which is kind of how this band got formed, but we'll come back to that later.
Yeah, sure.
But also on the Dobro, we've got Chad Gravy Boat Graves. And he's a Polk County, Missouri boy, kind of a country boy, and he's our honky-tonker. Does a lot of country and honky-tonk, and kind of grew up cutting his teeth on bluegrass and honky-tonk and country, and is just a world-class dobro player and a monster on his instrument. And he's such a percussive part of what we do, and that played a huge role in this record as well. There's a lot of percussion going on without drums, obviously. and so we've come to call him the Keith Moon of the dobro in relation to the Who's former drummer.
And so he's earned those mutton chops in all the honky-tonk bars he's played.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, man. Oh, gosh, what a great group. The Hillbenders, and you've been together performing, I'm curious, how long?
This past April marks 7 years for us. No, we're going on 8.
No kidding. You guys are very busy. I know you're always playing somewhere. I know you can always find the Hillbenders. If you're looking and you wait long enough, they're going to come across the path of anybody out there listening. I just guarantee
it.
You guys are
a
working band.
We play everywhere, all over the place, and as much as we can.
Mm-hmm. And the website, easy enough to find if you just really just plug Hillbenders into any kind of a search engine, you're going to find. And,
yep.
And the album's available there, correct?
Absolutely. It's available there, iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, Pandora, all that stuff. It's as much as we can get it out there, it's out there.
And it's getting good responses, I think, live, right?
It's getting incredible responses live. We're kind of blown away by the amount of attention it's garnered already, and it just keeps coming. And it's been a wild ride, actually.
I enjoy the heck out of the bravery of the band to take this on, and the fact that you executed it so well. And so, you know, you're not recreating rock and roll music. I want people to understand this. These are bluegrass acoustic musicians, but you're nailing this. The feel of the Who and Tommy, which is hard to do if you were electric. So it comes off so well.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Well, we put a lot of time and effort into really tweaking all the arrangements and making everything, trying to be very aware of the dynamics and the energy of the entire project as we went through it. And it's been a lot of fun. It's been actually, you know, we've been a band for 7 years, and we've got two other records before this, and a lot of mostly original music, actually, before this. And this is turning out to be one of my favorite projects we've ever done, just
because
of how dynamic it is and how great the response has been and how much fun it is to play and to see the crowd reaction from people that are just diehard fans of The Who and Tommy. It's a whole lot of fun being out there with this.
You know, and let me just say this too. The Hillbenders, yes, you play bluegrass, but you always stretch things out a little bit on the side here and there, some blues and some other kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So you've always been open, I guess, and kind of hip to something like this coming along, and here someone comes to you for those reasons that we're describing, and you jump on it, and you just nail it to the floor.
Well, thanks, man. Yeah, we've always pushed the boundaries, and we've always been a bluegrass band. But at the core, we're kind of rockers and country guys, yeah, and jazz guys, yeah, and singer songwriter guys, yeah, with a bluegrass face on top of it, and that's kind of I guess that's really who we are to the core, you know.
You had a good time at Grey Fox last year, I bet.
Oh, every year it's pretty much the highlight of our year almost every time. It was one of the Grey Fox was one of the first big festivals that picked us up. In fact, the first really big festival that picked us up and embraced us as family right from the very beginning. And we've just got so many friends and fans and followers up there. It's a really special place to us. We love it up there.
I agree with you 100%. And I'm sort of a newbie at it. I mean, 3 years broadcasting there, but I tell people it's like they're very open, and they accept, and they want you to be part of it. And once you're part of it, they want you to be comfortable. And what do you need? We'll give you this. Do this. This great group of people on it.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
Well, listen, man, I appreciate you so much taking your time, and I will find you somewhere at Grey Fox. I know when you're going to be, and I'll be kind of over to the right of the stage as you're looking out at the audience, and I have a booth. And last year, I'm going to make it a little more easier to find. Last year, it looked like an abandoned hydration station for like a marathon. People actually come by and ask me for bottles of water, which I don't have. I think it'll be marked a little bit better this year. But anyway, looking forward to it. Great album. Congratulations to all the members of the Hillbenders and everybody that conceded this for the new Tommy album. It's a blast.
Thank you so much, Steve. It's been a pleasure talking with you, and thanks for your interest in having me on here. And very much looking forward to running into you out there at Grey Fox. I'll be sure to find you.
Stop and say hi. Thanks, Nolan.
Thank you, Steve. We'll talk again soon.
All right, bye. Thanks so much to Nolan Lawrence of the Hillbenders for spending some time and allowing us to explore this brand new record, brand new concept, I think, for bluegrass bands. Tommy, the Bluegrass Opry, very, very, I don't know, it's not colored by number. It's not the same thing as Tommy. It's their own interpretation, but you're going to like it if you remember Tommy at all, if you're my age, or if you just like great picking and singing. Again, thank you, Nolan Lawrence of the Hillbenders, a nice conversation. I think we all learned a little bit about the band and the band's effort on the new Tommy, a Bluegrass Opry. Looking forward to seeing that performed live in a couple weeks up at Grey Fox, maybe 2 weeks exactly.